Public Service Project, a collection of public service origin stories. I'm Kate Dallaire, a former public servant and a relentlessly curious person. One of the very unique privileges of my life and career has been meeting so many fascinating people who've dedicated some portion of their own lives to public service. I want to know why, and I want to understand who they are, what shaped them, and what they've learned along the way. Public servants are often misunderstood, and this is a challenging time for our federal workforce. So this isn't about careers and resumes, it's about the very real lives of the human beings who've had the privilege and responsibility of serving our country. Today, I am joined by Alicia Lewis. Alicia's retiring from the U.S. Department of State this month, concluding 22 years of federal service. While the majority of her career was with the State Department, she also held positions at the Department of the Navy and OPM. Though service runs in her family, her father retired from the U.S. Navy and her mother from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Alicia initially had no plans to follow the same path. The universe had a different idea. Alicia ended up serving at posts all around the world, raising two kids and navigating countless transitions. I cannot wait to talk with her about her incredible adventures. Alicia, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this. I've got to tell you, actually, this is ticking off one of my bucket list items because I've always wanted to be on a podcast. So this is my chance.
Oh, no way. Well, that's exciting. I'm really glad to check that box off for you.
Yeah.
I would love to hear about your family and your upbringing and how you think that kind of informed your thinking about your journey through life.
So thinking about this, one of the things that that's been on my mind is the fact that I wouldn't necessarily say that service was the thing, but being occupied, occupation. My mother was a firm believer in the fact that we should not just be like sitting around doing nothing. Summer meant either a summer job or summer camp. Something that occupied us. And so as I look back over the last 20 plus years, I feel like that it has been a consistent thing in my life and probably the thing that is terrifying me the most about the future is the fact that I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Like I have been occupied consistently for the last 30 years. And now I have no idea what's coming next. So that's the thing that I think about. Another thing in terms of growing up was, you know, going to church every week. That kind of dropped off, though, as an adult, I've got to say, although I find it interesting that actually my son is going to a local church that he found on his own. And he goes every week. I think that's amazing. So between church and being occupied, those are the things that I remember the most about my childhood and music, I should say, music.
So no time for idle hands, right?
No time. No. I was just thinking about that. What is it, like idle hands or
it's
the devil's
bad.
Work or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. I knew that the second half of the sentence was something bad and I couldn't remember what it was. But I get that. And I think that's the story of so many American families too. Like I feel like it's part of that like that work ethic that really kind of drives – our culture and our economy, right? So it's so interesting. And I am interested now to hear how you found your way into public service and what surprised you about that journey.
So interestingly, I had not planned to go into public service. Although, as you said, my mother retired from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Actually, it's a funny thing. When I was listening to your interview with Chris Liu, made me laugh because he was talking about coming in as a clerk typist. And that is where my mother started as well when she started with HUD. She only worked for one agency. She went from, I think he was saying a GS-2 clerk typist or a 3. And I think she retired as a 13. So like, you know, anyway, so between that and my dad being in the Navy, I had not had aspirations to go work for the government. Like, it sounded so boring, maybe. My mother would take me to her office and I would be making copies. And like that just seemed, just so uninteresting, of course. So I studied psychology in college and then went to grad school because I had actually hoped to be like a professor and to work in academia. But unfortunately, while I was working on my PhD, my dad died, and it kind of derailed my momentum. And I realized that I really had no clue what was out there, like what work opportunities were out there. So I had the opportunity to go work at the department at the Office of the Office of Personnel Management, which was right down the street from GW. And so began, my trek into the government. So I did that. It was interesting. I enjoyed it, but when I had the opportunity, I left after a couple of years, went to go work for a nonprofit, left that to go work for a tech startup because it was the 90s. And then, of course, as what happens in all of these stories, I met someone. And so he worked for the State Department, and he was doing this thing, Foreign Service. I had no clue what that was about. But long story short, we got married and we went overseas. And the rest is kind of history. So the first time I took the Foreign Service exam, I was probably about I was actually probably 9 months pregnant with my first child. And then it took me, though, a couple more opportunities before I actually passed it. But I had also worked as a family member while we were in Portugal and India. I was an office management specialist also for a couple of years before I finally passed the Foreign Service exam. And then I became a management officer. It's been a very interesting journey. Definitely not anything like I was expecting I would do with a degree in psychology.
And it was not making copies either.
And it wasn't making copies. Although, actually, as an office management specialist, I was making copies. I was shredding things, all of that. But, very useful skills, absolutely.
And I know from my time at the State Department that the office management specialists keep the ship running. Like, they make sure people are where they need to be and that things are getting done every day. And I think they are the most important and under-celebrated members of our department. So I'm happy also to be able to talk about that experience. But before we go into your Foreign Service journey a little bit, which I do want to get to, it's so interesting the overlaps that you have with the person that I talked with yesterday, whose episode will probably air right before yours.
I listened. Oh
Oh
no,
no,
wait,
it's one
maybe
that
not.
hasn't aired yet, but
Oh,
actually
okay.
there are probably threads there too. But so many things are coming out in public service. But I talked with Bill Russo yesterday. His episode will have aired by the time this airs. And he talked about also pursuing a degree in psychology, also losing his father and having that change his course and his timeline, and also having his personal life and his career kind of be in conversation and making changes to both as needed. And so I think it's so interesting to hear about not just like people setting out and pursuing this career, but finding it organically. And I'd love to hear that. And now, tell us a little bit about your journey, some of the places you served, and some of the experiences that you had, and particularly how they wove in with your personal life and your motherhood.
So, like I said, this was definitely not what I expected to be doing. When we first went overseas more than 20 years ago, unbelievable, I had hoped to be able to continue doing the work that I was doing. I had been working in market research by that time, using my research skills. So I was hopeful that I was going to be able to like work on the economy in the places that we lived. So the first place was Lisbon, Portugal. But it became, pretty apparent early on that that was a very challenging thing, especially then, because this was 2002, 2003. And so I wasn't working and then subsequently had another child. So I had two kids at that time. And then, it was just easier to start working at the embassy. And so, and it was, not really anything that I had experience in, but it was a job. And again, you got to be occupied. Like, you have to be occupied. You can't just sit around at home, even though I did have two kids. So anyway, so I worked in Lisbon, and I was able, actually, they sent me to Germany for training. So that was really cool. Yeah, exactly. And so then next was New Delhi. And so while I was in New Delhi, I was what was called a rover. And so I worked in a lot of different sections there. Ultimately ended up working in the Office of Defense Cooperation, which is how I ended up working for the Department of the Navy. So I did that. But then I ultimately ended up joining the State Department myself, finally, as the office management specialist, because that then gave me a steady paycheck, because so I wouldn't have to quit my job every time we left. And so then we went to Mexico City, and it was in Mexico City that I actually finally passed the Foreign Service exam. And so then I went from a specialist then to a generalist, and then started actually, and then, did visas in Manila and in Hamilton, Bermuda. And then came back to DC for a while. And then I went to Singapore, and I was a human rights officer actually in Singapore, which I think that experience really was impactful for me in terms of the things that I am focused on now in terms of equity, in terms of allyship, like Singapore and that tour really, I think, have really kind of changed my trajectory as well. I think that's part of the reason why I'm making the change that I'm making in terms of retiring, because the things that are important to me, I'm not going to compromise on. And unfortunately, I feel that those things are in conflict with the U.S. government now. And so it was a choice whether to stay and, like I said, and compromise or leave. And so I made the very difficult decision to leave. It's still difficult. Like I haven't processed it yet. And in listening to all of your podcasts, like every story has been like there has been a thread with my life. And so your most recent one that dropped, you guys were talking about grief and dealing with that. And I mean, I definitely have not dealt with mine yet. But I guess I will eventually.
It's a process.
It
It's a
is a
process. And
process.
I feel like there are things, maybe it comes in stages, and there are things that we're ready to process more immediately, like what are we going to do next? But then there are the waves that come later on when you're navigating any kind of big change, even good changes in life, right? Can come with grief sometimes because some older version of you is gone or has had to make a change. I feel like that's something we don't talk about enough, like grief and adjustment in good changes too. And so one thing that I think is very clear about you is that you have navigated transition and adapting and growing and changing in your life with such grace. And I really admire that. So I just wanted to take a second to call it out. What are some other skills or qualities that you think have really helped you in your career and in your life? And where did they come from?
Well, I mean, I think absolutely my background in psychology really helped me. So I went to grad school for industrial organizational psychology, which basically has to do with psychology in the workplace. And so I definitely I definitely fall back on that
Yeah.
in terms of, and I think it also helped me. It helped me as a management officer in that, nothing really surprised me in terms of what people were doing.
Nothing.
Well, or at least I was able to
You had some tools.
convey. Yes, I had tools that kept me calm. And that understanding when people were upset that it wasn't with me, and so trying to be, a sounding board. I definitely, like I always had an open door, and people used it, coming in to vent about things or whatever, and I listen. Like that's a skill that I think is very important, is being able to listen to what people are saying. And so, like, actually, this is kind of weird because I don't typically talk about myself. Like, I usually, deflect it and like try to elicit, from the other person, for them to tell me about themselves.
Well, I'm not letting you off the hook
I
here.
know,
This is all
I
about
know,
you.
I know, I know. So there's that. And again, just, from my mother, the work ethic and the importance of work. And the fact that I'm now like going out on my own, got that from her too. Because after she retired, she started her own small business. She became a yoga instructor, and she's been doing that for like 30 years at this point. So yeah, those are like my mother obviously had a huge impact on my life. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
How do you think about community? Because I think for people who are not as familiar with the Foreign Service lifestyle, one of the things that would seem the most daunting or difficult to relate to would be, how do you uproot every few years? Do you ever have a sense of community? And you mentioned you were raising kids. Like, how do you think about community, and how have you found or created community everywhere that you've lived?
Community is very important, and it's something that, yes, it is very difficult uprooting and moving all the time, particularly with children. When they're young, I mean, they don't really know what's happening. I mean, every place is home.
And it's normal to them because it's what
Yeah.
they've done, right?
Absolutely normal. And so to me it was important to I felt like having like the same furniture, because the State Department, they furnish all of the houses no matter what country you're in the same. And so that was helpful for my children to recognize, like, oh, this is our home because we had that couch, at that
Oh,
other place.
I didn't know that.
Oh
That's
yeah.
interesting.
I mean, in general, and so you have to, it takes work. You have to go out. And there were people that I knew in places that really didn't venture out, and so didn't really become a part of the community. But you have to go out. There's activities and things like that for people to do. You just have to, you have to show up. And everybody's in the same boat, like we're all living in a foreign country, and trying to get to know each other. But one of the things that was difficult though for me was, while yes, you're a part of this community overseas, but maybe it's a little superficial, and you don't kind of realize that until you have like a medical emergency or you need help. And so which and I had and I and that I did have those experiences of needing to call. So I had my gallbladder removed while I was in India, and that happened like in the middle of the night. And I had to like I ha and my then husband was not there. He was tra he traveled all the time for his job with the State Department, and so I had to call somebody in the middle of the night to come take care of my kids while I went off to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. And then similar thing while I was in Bermuda, and I actually ended up having to be medevaced from there, and I had to ask for help for, you know, I had like someone had to take my kids because I couldn't take them with me to the hospital when I was leaving. And so that really reinforced to me the importance of making sure that I had more than just like a superficial community, that I actually, because like you cannot do it alone. It's hard. And I, you know, and by then in Bermuda, I was a single parent. I was separated. And so I literally was alone, and I had to figure out how to make connections that were, you know, that strong connections to help me. And so coming back here though, like being back in the US and I'm in the DC area, like this is where I grew up. And so I literally have like 15 minutes away is like my oldest friend who we've known each other since 7th grade. And then also somebody that I went to high school with who ended up being my college roommate. She's like, you know, 20 minutes away. And so I have, you know, coming back here, I have that community, and they have helped me tremendously through very challenging times, and it's just so important. But I have to say that the 20 plus years that I was overseas, you know, this community was weakened. I mean, they did come to visit me and everything, but you know, it's not the same. Like I wasn't
Yeah,
here.
I'm sure you missed some things.
I missed a lot of things.
But I think the fact that you've come back and you're able to kind of like reinvest and nurture those relationships right now also shows that it is possible, even if things are not always as strong as you would like them to be, it's still possible to nurture these relationships from afar and kind of like keep that thread of connection. Because I feel like I've had friendships and relationships from different seasons of my life in different geographic areas that maybe for a certain chapter, like one friend is really present. And then another chapter, another friend is more present because you're going through something similar. And so I think like such a broad definition of community is really beautiful. And I'm so happy that you get to spend time now in your home and be with your people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I mean, you know, I had to come home. My mom is in her 80s now, and so yeah, like it was time for me to come home. Of course, I wasn't expecting things to turn out the way that they had. Or that they have professionally, because you know, I expected to, I you know, I think I expected to be in the Foreign Service for, you know, for longer, which is reminding me of your conversation with Matt, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but we were in the same orientation class.
No way.
So
Oh, I love
when he,
that.
yeah, so we were in A100 together.
Cool.
And so yeah, like it's unfortunate that we both have decided that it's time to go.
Yeah, it's a loss, I think, for our government, but I think you also are human beings who have poured so much of yourself into your work and sacrificed a lot for it. And I think you also deserve to have seasons of your life that allow you to heal, recharge. And I think each of you and everyone that I've talked to is finding kind of their own path to making an impact, to rethinking service and what service might look like for them going forward. And I think that's really important too. Do you miss the travel? I've been wondering
Oh,
this.
absolutely.
Do you
Absolutely.
still have travel plans?
Right now, no, well, at least not internationally. I do try to travel. You know, so with my friends, my college roommate and I travel a little bit together. Like we went to Vegas together. We went to Puerto Rico together. And then I have another friend from graduate school who also I've known for like 30 years. Excuse me. And our children are of a similar age, and so we travel together because she's in upstate New York and needs, a break from winters and things like that. So we've gone to Cancun together. So yeah, like, and traveled all around the US together. We too went to Vegas.
Sensing a theme here. Alicia likes to have fun.
yes, I do. I do. I
It's
try
important.
because alternatively I'm usually working. So like I work a lot. And so even now, like in terms of service, I'm trying to figure out like what else I can do. Volunteering. There's a big World Pride is coming to DC this year, and so I'm hoping to volunteer with that. And I am trying to get involved with the city of Rockville. They have like some volunteer commissions, and so I'm interested in like their human rights commission. And also, oh, I was an election worker for the last election, and I'm planning to continue to do that. It was great. I highly recommend to anybody who's interested in serving their community. It's a great way to do it. So, even though I'm not going to be representing the United States overseas, I still feel like it's my duty to do something in my community. And this is an opportunity that I didn't have, spending 20 years overseas.
Yeah, you're taking the time and space and you're using it. No idle hands.
No.
But I think it's very cool to see also the connection between foreign service, domestic service, community service, because, it feels abstract to a lot of Americans who haven't engaged in foreign policy to think about being a human rights officer overseas. Like, what does that even mean? But then to say, you might have something to do with making sure that people have access to their own governments and their own community resources overseas equally, and that similarly, you want to see the same thing happen in our own country. Like, that is a thread. That's a value. That's a human value, right? And so to be able to take those skills and experiences and use them in so many different ways, I think is amazing. And I really applaud that. And I also want you to tell us about your new business, because I think you're being a little humble here, but you're doing something else that's really cool and that I think people don't think of as a facet of service. So tell me, Alicia, what you're up to.
In the process of just making the decision to leave, I had to think about like, okay, well, what was going to come next? And so it occurred to me that I could become a notary public, which is a state office. I did all of the training for that and was sworn in as a notary for the state of Maryland a couple of weeks ago. And then I also studied up to become a notary signing agent, which is for anyone who's bought a house. They're the ones that help process all of the loan documents. So I am doing that. And then I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but I'm also going to law school starting this
Wait a minute.
summer.
I feel like you buried the lead.
Well,
Where's
no, but
the glove?
I'm not going to become a lawyer. No, I'm actually
No, but
going.
that's still a big deal.
Oh, it is going back to school. Absolutely. Like, I
Yes.
feel like maybe that I'm coming full circle,
Yeah.
because like I said, I actually had wanted to be in academia, in the beginning, but decided to kind of take a little detour. But I'm going to get a degree in a master's of legal studies, which, as time progresses, is I think it's becoming more and more apparent that that's probably something that is going to be very useful.
Yes.
You were talking about being a human rights officer overseas, and I think that probably was an experience that I needed to have, because as a human rights officer, We are trying to help other countries implement the things that we think are important in a democracy, you know, free speech, freedom of the press, freedom to protest. And so those were the things that I was talking about in my job with people in Singapore. And now I find myself needing to maybe do those things here unexpectedly, being able to protest, being able to speak out against the government. I didn't know that I was going to end up having to do that here.
Yeah, and I think it also is very empowering, to I think there's something to being occupied that's about more than just staying busy and like not liking free space. I think it's also about embracing your agency all the time in every scenario. And so I think by you educating yourself more in like, what are our rights? How do we protect ourselves legally? That's taking action. And I think taking action is something that is very comforting in a time when things feel chaotic and when people feel out of control or disillusioned or overwhelmed by a steady barrage of like very concerning news stories. So I think that's super healthy and I'm happy for you. And I'm also happy that you told me this for the first time right here on the recording so I could have my genuine reaction of surprise and delight that you're
And I
doing
actually
this.
haven't, and I haven't really told many people. I haven't posted
Oh
it or
my gosh.
anything like
World,
that.
Alicia
So,
is going to
breaking
law
news.
school.
Yeah, breaking news. I'm going to law school.
I'll put the banner at the bottom.
So the funny thing is that so for the last, you know, month and a half, I have been taking all kinds of classes online and learning all kinds of things. Like I sign up for everything now. So you know, obviously learning about how to run a small business. I'm doing work, you know, related to AI because like that is absolutely imperative. And so my concentration when I go, so I'm going to go to American University, is going to be cybersecurity.
Cool.
You know, the funny thing with all of this is the fact that when I was going to college, my mother actually wanted me to study computers, but I was adamant about studying psychology. So again, full circle, I am now, you know, kind of looking at this whole this whole technology thing. Who knew it was going to blow up like it did?
Did your mom have a little like told you so moment?
No.
No, but think about it. Like your psychology background has been so useful to you. And so I feel like these are all pieces of the
Yeah,
puzzle.
no, absolutely. And so, I mean, you know, I'm weaving all of this
Yes,
together.
weaving. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. So
Well, I love that for you. I admire you. And I'm so happy that we had a chance to sit down and talk about your life and your experience. And I think so many people listening to this will see themselves reflected in you. And you've just been so open and so honest and vulnerable. So thank you for that. But also, thank you for your many years of service to our country, for all the sacrifices that you told us about today and all the ones that we don't know about that I'm sure you made. And thank you for just being here and being a part of this project.
I really appreciate the fact that you're doing this, like I said, and the fact that I had the opportunity to check off a bucket list item for myself as well. I think that this is very important. I've listened to all of your episodes, and I learned something from my fellow public servants. And yeah, I hope that I hope that people are listening, and I hope that they are understanding that we're all like we are them. You know, we're all the same, and we're just trying to help the US function. You know, we're just trying to kind of keep the gears turning.
Well, thank you for keeping the gears turning, and I look forward to seeing everything that you do from here.
Thank you.